What time is it? Time for the weekly dip. I want fries on my pizza, the rabbit in a tortilla, barbecue from Korea. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yuck, my yum. Yuck, yuck.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on Weekly Dish on MyTalk 107.1. I'm Steph March.
I'm Stephanie Hansen.
And we are freshly back from the Ask Stephanie portion of the show. If you guys still want to call in or send us a note about your classic favorite restaurants, we are here to listen to that.
Do you want to, I did get an email that came in about the runner situation. Do you want to hear someone's thoughts about
situation?
That? Okay, sorry. Here it is. This is from Sally. She said, why runners don't bring your water bar, wine bar refills? Many times they're underage, but there are a lot of things that they can bring you. Water, condiment, setups, pop refill, dessert, etc. So with those parameters, is there anything else you need? Be a fair question, not just an annoyance.
Yes,
of course, Sally.
Yes.
Yeah,
of course.
For sure.
Yeah.
I never even thought about that either. So thanks for bringing that up. That's a great point.
Yeah. Okay. Time for top two in hour two.
Yes.
Give him the 0-1-2. And now the Weekly Dish presents
top two, top two.
The top two.
Pick your best two.
In hour two.
All right, give me two, with him.
All right, this is the time to show you guys where we talk about a couple things that we are thinking about and can't stop thinking about, or love found this week and discovered and need to share it with you. Do you have one? What's your first one?
I do.
Okay.
Okay. It's Lasonico. Lasonico. And these are gourmet vinegars. There is a strawberry version, a mango version, a blueberry version, and a tangerine version. And what you're going to do with these is you're going to drink them like shrubs.
Okay.
You're going to put them in seltzer waters. You're going to make drinks with them. The strawberry one, I made Kurt a strawberry basil little mocktail this week. So refreshing, so delicious. Also, though, for vinaigrettes. So instead of like making a salad dressing or buying a salad dressing, you're just going to mix up some of the blueberry with a little bit of olive oil, a little salt, a little pepper, put that over your mixed greens.
It's going to be delicious.
Yeah. Or tangerine. Maybe you're going to use a little bit of it in a mocktail, obviously.
Yeah.
But maybe you're going to use this to flavor a little bit of a mimosa situation for Easter. A little tangerine mimosa.
Ooh, yeah.
The vinegar, it's vinegar, so it is a little acidic, but it's perfect in like so many applications for cocktails, vinaigrettes. Just, I was crazy about it. The strawberry one really got me, but also the tangerine and the mango, I think, is a good one too. You can find them at Love Your Olive in Maple Grove.
Okay, exciting for that. I am going to say my first one is Bina's.
Oh, I've been wanting to get there. Today's the day, I think.
Today's the day.
I think so.
They're open at 11.
So Kurt wants a daytime time with his wife time, and I'm not feeling the best, so that'd be a good
Jamie
spot.
Okay, so Jamie Olson's new space next to Centro on Quincy Street in Northeast, and she's taking this like town bar. I'm just going to tell you, it feels like a town bar.
I love it.
Not just because she designed it to be that, but the way it's being used. I popped in there for happy hour with good friend Ben Quam, and we just met for a quick little drink and a couple snacks, and we got like tall boys and a beer and a bump.
A PBR.
Yep, and we did the Shell's Deer Stand,
which is delicious. That is a good beer.
It is such a good beer, you guys.
Shell's beer in general is good beer.
Yes, and got some fries and a little bit of chicken and just hung out and chatted. But it was like they had the best 90s like hip hop going on, you know, at a good level. You could still chat, but a little bit shouty. And then it just was like regular people. Like, I'm just saying it worked. Like having like the regular people feel, you didn't feel like you were out of place. You didn't feel like anybody else was trying too hard or not trying hard enough. Like it just was really right there. It hit it.
You know where else gives me that total feeling?
Yeah.
Bull's Horn.
Yeah. It's totally that.
Yeah.
It's the exact same vibe. And it's just like people were there hanging out with each other, chatting. The bar was full. You know, this was happy hour time on Friday. People were playing pool.
Yep.
Other people were just sitting down. And there was a total flow of different ages, different vitalities, different vibes. Everybody flowing in and out. It was, I was like, okay, well, this is my new spot.
I love it.
I love it. I felt so great. So it's Bina's on Quincy Street.
Okay.
What's your second one?
It kind of got mentioned earlier by conversation, but I happened to go for the first time to Heather's.
Yeah.
In South Minneapolis last week. It was really delightful. It's a beautiful, like, quick little diner-y looking spot that's like an elevated diner, maybe.
Yeah.
Feels like the kind of place that you could easily be at home for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. We happened to be there for dinner. They had a sweet wine list that just totally hit it on all the notes that we were looking for. I had a salmon. I had a beet salad. Kurt had a burger and tater tots. Like, it really just kind of had something for everybody. And the service was really excellent. I also loved when you walked into the restaurant, they had like chicken salad and egg salad, and they had like chips and all these like kind of grab and go items.
Yeah.
So the neighborhood was coming in throughout the evening and like just picking up grab and go. You can tell they have a lot of regulars.
Uh-huh.
And it felt just really warm and delightful in there. And I think in the summer they probably have a sidewalk patio, I think.
So you know about the back? I mean, were you in the actual bit?
I was in the restaurant. No, okay. I don't know anything about this patio, but.
So the back patio is a tent. It's open all the time, all year round. It's okay. A tented year round heated
no
thing. It is. And talk about groups, you guys. I have had, that's a, one of the spots that I've had, like, I've had a 10 top back there. I've done a 6 top, and we had like a 15 over Christmas time. We had a book share and it was like 20 people at this big long table in the back.
I really appreciated it.
Yeah. It's one of my actual hidden gems, favorite spots. So yeah, I'm so glad that you discovered it.
Top two.
Oh, yay. I love that. All right. Well, my second top two is literally so crazy that it's Tattersall, but it's Tattersall Northeast. And I'm just saying,
are you getting all the feels?
I'm getting the feels.
The sad feels. I know. Me too.
Oh my God.
Me too.
Because the Strike Theater, obviously, I told you guys about, is in the Thorpe Building, which is in Tattersall's building. So I was like, you know what? Let's go to Tattersall. Let's meet for drink beforehand with the ladies that I went to see the play with. And I was like, let's just grab it because that's going to be easy. We sat there and I was like, I have not been to that space in so long. And it's because I'm regretful that it's going to be gone.
Yeah.
And I just sat there and I was like, all the memories of all the great times and how after a decade that we now understand cocktail rooms, we didn't know what they were going to be.
And how innovative that one was when it opened.
It was so innovative. But and what I'm going to tell you is the drinks are just as innovative right now. And I started off with a NA beverage, an NA cocktail while I was waiting for the others to come. And it was so refreshing and so delightful. And then we moved into the special, you know, they had this special, can't remember what anything's called. And it was, they had this habanero foam. It was Yum. Like a sour. And it was an aquavit sour with habanero bitter foam.
Okay.
It was,
that sounds so amazing.
It was outstanding. And then there was, you know, a Negroni that was fantastic and an old fashioned that was leagues above. And it's just like that level of care. Sometimes I kind of forget, you know?
Yeah.
And I just, that it was full. The place was full. So I don't know. I think you need to get into Tattersall before it closes. That's my advice. If you had any sort of
summertime sadness, if you don't,
I think any, and if you didn't, if you had any sort of good times there, if you have any memories, I remember reading, doing like when they had their, something was kind of like a moth reading, you know, whatever there. And I did a reading and I was like, hey, that's just a memory that, and it's going to be gone. So
I do have memories about that too, sitting there with, I think John, not Dan, John. And just like him bringing something over and being like, hey, try this.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what is this?
Yeah.
This is magic. And just the amount of egg foam consumed in drinks there
in
the very beginning, because everything had that sort of viscosity level to it.
Yeah.
Oh, just so fun.
And just championing out that. And I mean, yes, that you River Falls will always be like their mothership. And the stuff that they're making out there is fantastic.
I hope they do another little cocktail.
I do. I hope that they find I hope they do like a micro distillery. I hope they do something really small, really intentional that is like
maybe the Emerald Lounge size.
Yeah. And only making the drinks, like making the spirits for that one spot.
And with records.
Oh, you like the record vibe, do you?
I do.
I do too. All right, you guys, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk about ladies in the industry and International Women's Month. And then we're going to talk about, I'm excited to talk about this new thing in the New York Times. This is sort of was a podcast. I don't know if it was a podcast, but they basically, Julia Moskin sat down with 30 chefs across the country. We're excited to hear what they say. We'll be right back.
Some subscriptions just aren't for you.
Honey, when do we subscribe to Potato Lovers Weekly?
Cat Lady Today? Mold of the Month Club? The New York Mimes?
But when you become a member at the YMCA in February, you can get a personal training subscription that is right for you. Plus, Y members gain access to virtual Y and group fitness classes.
Wait, mediocre mustaches monthly?
Subscribe to a healthier lifestyle. Join the Y at YMCANorth.org.
Everybody, welcome back to Weekly Dish. Okay, so it is International Women's Month. It's Women's History Month. Yesterday was International Women's Day. But I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the great... There's lots of opportunities. In fact, more opportunities than ever to support great women-owned businesses and great women chefs. And not just women chefs. Women restaurant owners. Women businesses.
Product developers.
Makers. Yeah. And I will shout out that I did the Taste of the Twin Cities. I introduced a bunch of ladies for the Taste of the Twin Cities this last week. That's Wayne Kostrowski's, evolution. And it supports the M Health Favy. We had Roshini and those guys on the week before. And it's such an important cause, but it was really great to see a lot of the women there and talk about it. But I thought about it. It's like, there's so many that we can highlight. So I thought we'd kick off with a couple that I was thinking about.
Yeah.
One of them has something to do with next week is Pi Day. I don't know if you know that. 3.14, on the 14th Thursday is Pi Day. And I love the fact that Honey and Rye, which is a woman-owned bakery in St. Louis Park, they've partnered with Crooked Water Spirits, our friend Heather Manley, to do a caramel bourbon apple pie.
Yum.
And that's like one of those great things. Like, that's a double punch. You can absolutely support women by going to buy that pie at Honey and Rye.
Anne's crusts, too, her pies are excellent.
They're
so flaky and so buttery and yet kind of weedy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I do love it. Do you want to just go back and forth? You want to take one and I'll take
one?
Sure.
Because I was like, oh, this looks like a fun segment. Let's talk about fun people.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Becky Melvey.
Okay, who's that?
She runs Abundant Kitchen.
Oh, yay!
They're in Excelsior and also in Buffalo. And it's a gourmet cooking store with makers' products, but also cooking utensils, mixes. Becky's got cooking classes that she does. She is a really funny lady, and she's a really big supporter of the show. And, Buffalo was like under construction for a long time, redoing their main street, and she's hung in there. And I just really love her store. I think she does a great job.
Okay,
I
love that. All right.
Abundant Kitchen.
I'm going to counter with the ladies at Chips Clubhouse, which sometimes they listen in on Saturday. So, hey, ladies. But I just think that is such a... like has become such an integral part of the neighborhood over there off of Snelling.
Uh-huh.
And it's really just a reimagined idea of a really comfortable gathering space. And of course they have a killer burger, but they really do a lot of cool events, and they're next to Hot Hands Pie, where you can you can also go on Pie Day, by the way, and grab some cool things, but totally one of those like secret gems that like you have to remember to go to Chips Clubhouse, because it's spectacular.
All right. I'm going to talk about Coconut Whisk. Bella Lamb is one of the owners. She is a delightful young lady. They did just close their cafeteria and coffee shop on Nicollet Mall, but you can still find all of their vegan and gluten-free baking mixes throughout Target.
Yes.
And you can order them online. You can go to their website. But Coconut Whisk, they're very... Miles and Bella, they're a couple, and they're very young, and they're sweet, and they've been doing this for... gosh, I think about 6 years now. And I just love how vulnerable she is about running a small business. And as a maker, I know it can be tough sometimes. So I always find inspiration in her.
Oh, I think that's spectacular. Okay, I want to talk about two women who totally inspire me as well, which is Jones in the Park.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they, Susan Dunlop and Joan Schmidt, they literally are two women who, they are so full of hospitality. I've eaten there twice in the last like 6 months. And I just have to tell you, just like the thoughtfulness of the food, and yet also it's the room. The room is just like a big hug, like a really refined big hug. You get to dress up a little bit, but you don't have to. But it feels like you are part of their family.
And yes.
It really is one of those places that I feel like special date night. That's great. But also I took a bunch of girls out and we were like, let's go treat ourselves at Jones in the Park.
So that was my neighborhood spot and I miss it. That was one of the sad things about moving away from St. Paul.
That's true, but you can still go.
Yes. It's just, yes. Absolutely.
You also can drive over there.
I used to go like every other week.
I know.
How about Latunji's palette?
How about it?
Latunji is a woman that is doing such great work. She has a cafe called Latunji's, and she's making cobblers. Her peach cobbler is somewhat legendary. It's in a little plastic tub, and she serves it, obviously, in the coffee shop that she has. But also, you can find her at events around town. She's just this larger-than-life, smiling, infectious, funny, unique person.
Yeah.
That just when you're around you get those vibes of who she is, her work in the community, how many kids she's bringing along with her and teaching them how to work in the cafe and have a good work ethic. And she has a deep relationship with her pastor. And she's just somebody that just makes you feel like, wow, this struggle of us trying to rebuild Minneapolis starts with somebody like her.
I love it. I love it. Okay, what about Dripping Root and Katisha Pearson, who is, Dripping Root is a juice shop over of Minnehaha area. And she's literally someone who is like, I just need people to drink juice and feel healthy because you glow differently. And I love that idea that it's like she just wants to bring a little bit of health, a little bit of brightness. Think of like how we love fruit and we love juices and whatever, but it's not about a cleanse. It's not about like taking, you know, something out of your life. It's about adding it into your life. Uh-huh. And I love her so much because she's a single mom, you know, who is, you know, a Black woman who is like just living her dream. Katisha Pearson at the Dripping Root.
I got to get there.
Keep going. Okay. I love this. We should like rapid fire.
I know. Ashley Olds, Sweet Science Ice Cream.
Boom.
Just somebody that really saw the beauty in simplicity of ice cream. She has like made over 28 different vanilla flavors. Anyone that can go that deep into vanilla really has my heart. She's a really kind person. She is a good person. And I just love her ice cream. She treats it like science, like all those flavors and those combination profiles. And I just love Sweet Science Ice Cream at 50th and France. And you can find them in the co-ops too and at the Golden Fig. And get that Bumbleberry Crisp.
Okay, I'm going to give you two Anns. Ann Kim and Ann Ahmed. Two women who basically are saying, we're going to live our life out loud. We're going to live our truth. We're going to bring what we know from our heritage to you, and you're going to love it. And I love that Ann Kim opened Kim's this year because she wanted to bring her Korean-American, you know, stuff to the table. And people are loving it. And it is such a vital place. And it's so much more fun. And because you know that it's something that she's like super excited to bring forth. And Ahmed, who has been in Laos, you know, is like we need to talk about that. We need to talk about these beautiful coconut cakes that she makes because she just, you know, learned how to make them there and how she's bringing another level of to our palate, to our Minnesota palate. She's completely changing the way we look at food. So two Anns for one price. Go.
I like two Anns. I have an Allie.
Okay. Who's your Allie?
I think because we work with Allie Kaplan that we don't maybe
you can't name Allie. I have
enough
to name Allie.
Well, and I don't work with her, but that's deeply true. Appreciate the work that she does at Twin Cities Business Magazine, but also that work she did at MSP Magazine and also the work she just does in our community through her podcast and just raising up voices of business people that we weren't hearing from for many, many years of my career. And she has a way.
Oh, you mean
of,
when magazines, business magazines were run by white men?
Well, I mean, they were. And I would subscribe to them and I wouldn't see people like myself in them. And now I do. And I just think she's the bee's knees and she works with us all the time. So we probably just, it's like take it for granted.
It but is. You're right. You're
Allison
right.
Allison Kaplan okay, well is done. High on my list.
She's great. I'm going to give you another 1-2 punch because I love these two women who are Zoe Francois and Sarah Kiefer. And Zoe Francois, obviously, of Zoe Bakes. Sarah Kiefer of 100 Cookies, Vanilla Bean Blog. If you saw, Sarah Kiefer just launched a baking column in the Star Tribune.
I'm so excited about
so
it.
So proud of her.
Yes.
So proud of her for doing that. And Zoe obviously just launched her own YouTube channel. So if you're looking for, you know, Zoe Bakes, if you've watched all the Magnolia shows and you're looking for more Zoe Bakes, you can find her for free on YouTube. Everybody can find her. These two women are they have a national presence. It's not just us. We can see how beautiful and wonderful and talented they are, but they have a national presence. Okay, you have one more.
Robin Aspell.
Robin Aspell.
She has written over 20 cookbooks.
Yes.
People take it for granted. She started the vegan, the vegetarian, the plant-based.
She really is prolific, you guys.
She has done so much for the alternative types of eating, and she doesn't get the recognition because she's like not as sparkly. She's just like super down and dirty, but Robin Aspell.
All right, we'll be right back.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you could have an extra hour in your day, what's the first thing you'd do? Watch another show? Take a nice nap? Visit a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but what would we do with it? And perhaps the better question to ask is, what's so important to me that I'd want more time to do it? And what could I do to make that a priority? Sometimes when you talk to a therapist, it's not about what the therapist says, but the things you finally hear yourself saying out loud. Oh, so that's what's most important to me. That's where I need to get to so I could be the best version of myself. Therapy with BetterHelp is entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can always switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/weeklydish today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/weeklydish.
I'm Bradley Trainer,
and I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game, and you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
I'm just kind of letting Cher run a little bit because we had such a good International Women's Day back and forth moment. Who better to take us out of that than Cher?
I know. And by the way, we kind of love that rapid fire round. I think we should do that more often.
Yeah, it was fun. Could be a fun segment.
Yeah.
All right. So I had the opportunity to read last week in the New York Times. They interviewed 30 chefs about the state of the state of the restaurant business. And a lot of chefs that we admire, anybody from Stephanie Izzard was David Chang, just a lot of the famous chefs.
And they did it across the country, which is important because the New York Times sometimes get New York centric. You know,
correct.
What I mean?
So I just thought there were some takeaways from it.
Yeah.
I did have an opportunity to talk with Tim Niver about it on my podcast that I do that I posted yesterday. So if you want to check that out. You can check that out. But I just want to throw out some quotes, kind of, sure. Maybe is the best way to do this.
Yeah.
It's a pretty extensive article. I will unlock it, too, and put it on the Facebook page so that you can read it.
Great.
But I thought this kind of started it off for me. Once upon a time, I was an essential worker, and everyone was tipping so graciously and saying the restaurant is the backbone of our economy. And now, just 4 years later, we're back to everyone complaining about a dollar tip on a touchscreen.
Ooh.
I know. It kind of hit a nerve with me because I'm the complainer.
Oh, I know you are.
And it was just like, huh. All right. Very, very interesting.
Uh-huh.
Let's see if we just keep going. This is from, we usually don't make any profit until Saturday night.
Yeah.
If we're lucky, we'll profit all day Saturday. But if you have a terrible snowstorm on a Saturday, we're screwed.
Yeah.
And it made me think about, we were just at a new restaurant that just opened up this week. And they were like, oh, yeah, we had six reservations cancel.
And they're like, does that happen? We're like, yeah.
And who's canceling the day?
Well, I would tell you there's a lot of people who do because of things that come up in life. Let's be clear about that. But the other side of it is they are a brand new restaurant who then announce their reservations. We're opening reservations for, you know, because our opening day is March 5th. So a lot of people grab those because they're excited by it and they want to go. They grab them because they think that they're going to go away. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, I couldn't get anyone to come, or I forgot that this is all of a sudden here. And so they cancel. So that's, I would say that. Interesting to think about that. But more interesting as far as this comment goes, we don't usually make any profit until Saturday night. That means the rest of the week there is kind of sucking wind. But let me put another thing. Let me blow that out a little harder for you is that Q1 right now is the toughest time for restaurants. They've come off of making all their money in December, you know, and holidays and everything else. And then maybe a little bit of January. And they had a good bump with Valentine's Day, but this is the doldrums. So if you are looking to go to places to support, now is the time before summer.
Yeah, exactly. We're in a society where certain things we're very eager to pay for quality, but with other things we're hesitant, especially with black and brown food. They don't expect quality for very little money. The same folks that will pay over $200 for a pasta dinner when it comes to Caribbean food, African food, South Asian or East Asian food, they expect to get more for so much less. Yes. Why is that? And Tim Niver and I talked about this. I was like, do you think that's true? Because he runs a Mucci's, which is an Italian concept. And I was like, do you think that like people are okay paying more for pasta, but if it's like made or in a black or brown restaurant, that it's a problem if they charge? And he goes, oh yeah. He goes, don't you remember the people being upset about an $8 taco that had three or four shrimp in it? Like maybe a organic grass-fed short rib might be in a taco. But I had never thought about it. And I had just never thought about it. And like, wow, is this some kind of racism, or is this just, what is this that we don't want to pay $8 for a taco, but we have no problem paying $22 for literally humble pasta?
Can I tell you something that's going to be really funny to me? Remember last week, even where we talked, maybe we didn't talk about it on air, but we talked off the air about Cheap Eats.
Yes.
Okay. And I said in the magazine world, we don't do Cheap Eats stories anymore because we're aware that what happens in that package is that you round up the tacos and you round up all of like the quick dumpling, the fried rice places. You read it. It ends up
didn't talk about that, but that's fascinating.
But I was saying, I don't call them cheap eats anymore because what happens is that what you're doing is you're intentionally showing everybody what is so affordable, you know, what is cheap. And then you're sort of putting it into this bucket that it's supposed to be that way. So that if someone does do a finer taco or a beautifully crafted, birria or even like pho that has been painstakingly worked on.
Yeah, I mean,
all of a sudden you're like, yeah, but it's a $14 cheap eat. Why would I ever do that? So there's no point for me to do that anymore. I'm never going to do it. I'm not going to marginalize and celebrate. I'm going to celebrate affordability in a way that is like, wow, this is an amazing for what you get. The value is important. But to label it cheap eats is a killer for the whole segment.
I hear exactly what you're saying. And I still want you to highlight inexpensive
yes,
things.
Yes.
And maybe we're just having word salad about the word cheap.
Yes.
Because I feel your sentiment deeply and I get it.
Yes.
But I also, as the reader, and well, maybe it's just
40
the word,
under 40. That's why we do 40 under 40.
But also, like, I mean, we were talking about that with James Norton from The Heavy Table that used to do, something under $20. Now it's $40. It's still in my brain. Like, $40 doesn't seem inexpensive.
And the things we're doing are literally like $20.
Yeah. It is just what it is.
And there's one of these chefs said something that is interesting too. He said, people who say food is overpriced, sometimes I want to say back, you have Nikes on your feet and they're charging a 1,000% markup. To me, that is the weirdest part about this. When people get weird about the price of a piece of food, but then they don't like the perspective of sitting in a Viking seat for 3 hours of one day and it's $400. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That to me is a little bit, it's hard for me to understand the difference of what is cheap and what is not.
Here is a, are we ready to just go to maybe the next one?
Yep.
Okay. I don't think health insurance should be something as an operator that we need to do. That is such a larger issue that this country should offer. But what am I going to do? Not offer it and not care about my employees? So we offer health insurance. We put a line on the check. 3% comes from the customer. So that counts as income and we have to pay tax on it. And you know who that's a win for? The health insurance companies.
Yeah.
I sat and just sat with that one for
a
bit. Just sat with it.
Yep.
All right. Let's see here. With all the price increases, we still can't claw back enough to provide a retirement for me. This is the chef that owns the restaurant.
Okay.
I can't stand on the line 12 hours a day when I'm 65. I already own a back brace, arm brace, foot brace. I feel like the broken Iron Man just trying to hold it all together. At my age, I'm 42.
Who is it?
David Utterback.
Okay.
You need to get into management. You need to be off the line and stop cooking. If you haven't developed an escape plan, you're going to be stuck doing this forever. How sad.
Can I be honest that Jorge Guzman talks about it all the time. He's like, I can't stand. He's like, I have back issues. He's got all sorts of things. And he's like, it is a physically demanding job. And that's what we forget about. And then to think about, you can't do that forever. And so, but like, it doesn't afford you to be able to have like a 401k.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like the rest of us are kind of planning differently for that. Oh, that's so much.
Here's some comments about tipping.
Okay.
You want to control someone's pay because you didn't feel like your water got filled fast enough or your food took a long time to come out. It should just be like everything else. The price is the price. I sat with that one too.
Wait, I missed that again.
You want to control someone's pay because you didn't feel like your water got filled fast enough or your food took a long time to come out. It should just be the price is the price.
I agree that there's a weird...
Because we go and buy a pair of Nike tennis shoes at the Foot Locker.
Right.
And if the person giving us the shoes was slow or there's...
You don't get to like...
It didn't come with laces and we had to take it back.
Right.
You know, it's still the same $85 pair of shoes at the Foot Locker.
Yeah. And I literally just like, I ordered something off Amazon and it wasn't correct. Like from what the picture was, it was wrong. And I have to now do all this work to send it back, but I'm still paying the same price. You know, I get it refunded, but I mean, like, I don't get to ding anybody else on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they don't lose their living because of that. I think that is a weird idea too, but that's also why I think it's the tipping. If it should just be, well, I don't even want to go into that.
And this is,
it's too much.
And I'm pinning myself as like the jerk customer all the time in these discussions.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I am, I'll just be honest. But also because Stephanie tends to be the voice of the hospitality industry, you have to have the yin and the yang. So I'm always the yang on this one. But this one, I just sat there and thought, huh.
Which one?
I thought people would be a bit more understanding, but it seems like we're just right back to where we were before. They just want their food. They want their drinks and they want their vibes.
Which is what you actually said earlier today.
Correct. Correct. But I also don't want to apologize for wanting my vibes. Like it is, we are in a marriage. Like
yes.
I am bringing myself to you with my pocketbook and my grievances and my appreciation.
Yep.
And we're in a dance together.
I love that you just said that because it really truly is. And there is no, and the, what's even more important to know is that you have different partners in this dance every time you choose a new place. And that is like, there's different ethos, there's different rules, there's different setups and structures around each separately, independently owned restaurant so that they can manage, they can attract the kind of people that they want and they want to be their own art. And you as the patron are coming in to experience that, but you also are bringing yourself to the art. And so that's the moment where you have to learn, you know, how to live within this system. And if we could all do it kindly, the better for everybody.
Right. And also, this is something Tim Niver and I talked about. This industry employs millions and millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of our largest work sectors.
Yes, it is.
And yet you love unemployment being low. Well, they're the ones who are breaking the backs to keep people hired and to keep the unemployment and to keep our cities moving.
Mm-hmm.
It is always and continually will be on the backs of hospitality.
I will never forget. I opened an Oceanaire in Seattle and it was just after the dot-com bust, right? Of whatever, before in the whatever, who even knows, early 2000s. There was like a whole, you know, it was the beginning of something bad happening. And it was the line around the block for the 10 server positions that we were hiring.
Yep.
The line around the block. And these people were like from high tech industry. And they were like, well, I just wanted to fall back on serving again. And I'm like, yeah, but you haven't been a server for 5 years. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's tough.
We're going to, I think, leave this here.
Yeah. So, but put it up and definitely.
No, I got one more I'm going to read and we're going to leave it on this note.
Got it.
You know how they say the kitchen is the heart of the home? That's where everybody migrates to. Well, that's what it is with independently owned restaurants for our country.
Yes.
Let's be honest. When your friends and family come to town, you're not going to be like, oh, I know this restaurant nearby. It's a huge chain. You're like, I know this gem and it's a little bit of a wait and they make everything from scratch. So let's go.
I love who said that and where are they from?
It is Rania Duong, and I don't know where she's from.
It should have it. Isn't it right next to her?
Nope, it's not.
Okay.
However,
okay.
Thank you, Rania, for reminding us of that.
That's spectacular.
And I think we'll just leave it there.
Yeah, we'll be right back. I know this is like the craziest obvious song. I love this song and it makes me feel good every time I listen to it. And I don't, there's no way to say anything other than I'm good, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I like it too.
I think it's fantastic. All right, so I cannot believe, again, like shockingly, we're at the end of the show.
I know, it goes so fast.
It was a good day. I thought we had a lot of fun. and lots of good things. But I did want to mention, I got a note from Jilly, one of our longtime listeners, great friends of the show. She says, in my list of lists, I keep a list of restaurants with round tables. We're talking about the reservation,
okay,
you know, over six thing again. Round tables that can seat at least six. It is few and far between. But I did try to make a reservation for Pink Ivy for six, which is the place that we went that's brand new. For being there on Thursday, so good. And they only take reservations of four. And I get it, they are small. And I would say that, yes, there's two factors with that. One, yes, they are small. Two, since they're so new, they may not be able, they don't maybe want to do a larger party yet until their staff gets totally trained in too.
Yep.
But those are great points, Julie. Like, that's exactly it, true. It's like keeping a running tally of places where you know you can kind of go. That's a great idea.
Yeah, and that she knows, like, because remember the big round table at Brasa?
Yes.
It's the Lazy Susan table.
Yes.
I love that table.
I know. The Dario has a huge round table, by the way. Have you been yet?
Yes.
Okay, you did go. All right.
Yes. I think I talked about it last week.
You did.
I really love.
Just as I said, I remember that. Okay. Let's talk about what's going on in town. We have some things that are happening. Here's an interesting thing that's happening. So Gavin Kaysen has suspended his Synergy series for the year for Spoon and Stable. Now, that is the series where he brings in outside chefs and they have like these discussions, and then they have two, you know, dinners and all this kind of stuff, because he's now launching the North Star series with Demi. So Demi, you know, his finer dining, you know, his tasting menu restaurant, yep, seats like usually about 20 in the back room or in the back, you know, space. He's now launching, he's bringing in three chefs or three different restaurants that all have Michelin stars in some way, shape or form, a one, a two and a three. And they are coming over the course of the year. They're doing, I think, May, August, and October. And it's really interesting to me. It is a 36-seat dinner. That's it. And he's charging $700 per plate or per seating. And it's a 9-course tasting menu with beverage pairings for $700. And it's a lot, but there's only 36 seats. So that sort of works. Do you think?
I think he'll sell it out.
Yeah, I think for sure he'll
sell
it out.
Now, the question would be, could, I don't know, I'm just gonna, like, let's say that, I'm just using Red Rabbit here as an example. Could Red Rabbit do the same thing and sell it out at $700 with a guest chef like that?
I don't think it's fair to compare that in a weird way.
You might be right.
I don't think that is fair, because it's like, that's, Demi, that's what they do.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, they're already up at that $300 mark, so they're bringing someone else in who is a Michelin star, you know, person.
And I do think it'd be worth it.
And this is my point, is like, I'm definitely not someone who is like angry at that. And I feel like that's an affluence piece, which of course it's not for everybody is the point.
Well, and then
we shouldn't have to think that everybody has to have access to that.
Cause we were just in that New York Times article. David Chang had a quote, yes, about that. We're going to see people charging $2,000 or $3,000 instead of for a Taylor Swift ticket for a fine dining experience.
Yeah. Anybody who went to the Taylor Swift concert, this is not that far from,
it's not.
We know.
That's why it's interesting.
And it is a once in a lifetime thing. This isn't like you're doing this monthly, weekly, anything. This is the only time probably this guy, you know, this person from Frasca in Colorado or Akavit in New York, this woman is coming in to cook. Like, you can't really even get that. And if you went there, you couldn't get it for $700. Right. So I think that's interesting, and I'm just excited that they're doing something like that. Like, we have to have 2-for-1 burgers, and we have to have $700 tasting menus in the Twin Cities.
Agreed.
We need them. All right. Other things that are going on. I'm kind of fascinated by this. I don't know if you've heard about what they're doing at the Walker, this new exhibit.
No.
Called New Eagle Creek Saloon. This is all in the feed, you guys. Sadie Barnett it's a reimagining of her father's bar, the first black-owned gay bar in San Francisco. It's an installation.
Oh, I did see this, yeah.
This looks so cool to me. And they basically have this bar set up, and they're actually serving drinks on free Thursday nights where the Mama-san Bar Collective is there running things, but they're having speakers. They're talking about, you know, they're doing presentations. I am so figuring out when I can get there.
It was pretty cool to see her reimagination of this. I saw a picture of it.
Yeah, and just talking about, you know, besides promoting, I love this, and honoring Black queer joy, the bar is going to serve drinks and talk about hospitality and talk about, you know, the way that these things all come together in a city. I'm fascinated by it.
Maybe we should go.
I know. Can we do a couple quick, sad, like, pour one outs? Clearly, you know that Panakukin is now closed. In St. Louis Park. Did you even care?
No. You know, I don't care. I didn't know. And I thought they'd closed a long time ago. Yeah. But I do love what they represented in the day. The Pannekoeken, the lady in the little Dutch costume, yeah, her Amsterdam clogs serving you the hot pancake. I was all for
you
it.
You had to run the Dutch baby up.
Yeah.
Very cute. So quick little story. We had a friend. There was one in Long Lake. And so in high school, let's call her Carolyn. Carolyn would, she had to work there, and she was working there, and we basically would like, can we get a table that is right close to the kitchen? Because then she'd have to run out, and we'd order the Pannekoeken, and she'd have to run out, and instead of doing the long Pannekoeken, it would be like, Pannekoeken. And then we would try to see how long it would take her to say the whole thing.
Anyway. I like it.
So anyway, McCoy's Public House is closing in West End after 20 years. I can't believe it's been 20 years.
I can't believe I ate there once. Does that mean? Sorry, is it too soon?
I don't know.
Are they not closed yet?
I know.
And I know the people that live over there are probably devastated.
Well, and I mean, quite honestly, who knows? Someone else with more capital may come in and, you know, sure. That's the thing. Is like, it's not necessarily that the pub doesn't work there. It's just that maybe that owner's run out of length. I don't know, or they're tired.
Gas.
Or, I don't know. Galactic Pizza also closed.
Sad about that. Yeah, they used to, remember, they would dress up like superheroes to deliver your pizza.
I loved that. And we already talked about the Coconut Whisk closing. So, yep. All right, so a couple things going on in town. I wanted to shout out also Under Pressure Brewing, which is a woman-owned brewery in Golden Valley.
It's really interesting in there.
Yes.
They have like the longest beer list you've ever seen,
yes,
but it's different kind of beers and they know a lot about them. And people go there and play like Dungeons and Dragons
they
and all these
so
weird games.
They have so much programming. They yes. are doing classes. They have trivia. They have karaoke.
So much.
They have a Sleuth and Sip, which I really want to go to, where you get like a box of clues and you got to figure out a murder while you're sitting there.
And
yes,
this is everyone around you is doing it. It's a very fun spot.
I love this. So I wanted to give them a shout out. And that's it. That's all we have time for.
Okay.
Wow. Ciao, everybody.
Went fast.
Have a great weekend.
See you next week.